There is emotion there, but it's not to the point where we're going to break down and cry. Like, we know at the end of the day, you know, we're moving on. You know, we're going on our own separate paths.
Is it important for you guys to help get him the record?
It is. It is, but, you know, we don't really think about it too much. We kind of just go out and have
fun. I know. I'm not sitting here going, okay, you know, I got the calculator in front of me.
I mean, I'm not even going to lie. Like, we brought it up a few times on the sideline. Sam's like, no, don't talk to me about it. Like, yeah. Really? No, next drive. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, we don't really talk about it too much. You know, if we break it, we break it. You know, if we don't, oh well, you know.
This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State and the people who play them, of course. I'm Andy Bueller. Todd Millis is with me. We are your SB Live Washington team, at least two members of a larger team. But Todd, you know, I say we bring this episode weekly, but this week we're making a big exception because there's a pretty big story brewing in Washington that we couldn't ignore, and we wanted to make you know, its own podcast episode and bring, you know, lots of coverage as we lead up to it. And that's Sam Huard of Kennedy Catholic, who is on pace to break the state's all-time passing record this weekend.
Yeah, we don't get too many record watch segments, but you're right. Sam Huard's 300 by the account of Tacoma News Tribune sports writer Lauren Smith, who has really taken on the long-term tracking of this record. She's covered him since he was a ninth grader. So by her count, he's 351 yards away from the all-time record of Brett Rypien, who plays for the Broncos, the Boise State standout. We're not that far removed. Brett Rypien was a fantastic quarterback at Shadle Park, finished his career with 13,044 passing yards in 39 games, broke Max Brown's record of 12,953 yards in his last game, a lot like what Sam's about to do Saturday. So Sam right now sits number three all time. He's got to pass a couple guys with a big performance against Kentwood, but should be fun. I mean, we don't get a lot of these record watch, especially a record of this magnitude, very often.
No, we don't. And you mentioned they play Kentwood too, and it's that'll be at Highline Stadium at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Both you and I will be there, bringing you coverage live from that game. I know it's still limited capacity in these COVID times, but I expect that to be a pretty special environment, especially because Kentwood, that team, you know, they put together a nice season here, and that's probably going to be Kennedy's toughest matchup so far.
Yeah, I mean, they're loaded with dudes. Mike Bush does a really good job year in, year out. They're always knocking on the door for playoff berths, league championships. A couple years ago, they had their first losing season in school history. But talking to coaches that have faced Kentwood, the weakness, kind of the weak link in that defense is the back end. Now, Jalen Church is a really good free safety, so he's going to have to monitor that passing attack and choose correctly. But if you're going to get something on Kentwood's defense, you're going to get it through the pass game, which, as we know, fits perfectly into what Kennedy Catholic does here with that air raid, that air raid attack with so many good receivers, and obviously Sam is a trigger guy.
Well, if I'm Jalen Church, obviously he's going to have a busy day on Saturday, but if I take part in that Kentwood secondary, or I'm the Kentwood DBs coach, I'm kind of licking my chops here going, all right, everybody and their mother is talking about this record. Let's show him. Let's see if he can, you know, not do it. And obviously there's a load of receivers, of talented receivers out wide for Kennedy Catholic. So we say that he's on pace, 350 yards or around that in any other circumstance would be, you know, a pretty tall task. But he's surpassed that mark in the first half of both of these games these last couple weeks. So I should say Sam Huard is going to join us today on the podcast. And so we're going to play that interview in a moment. But before that, I thought it'd be a fun little thought exercise. Todd, you've covered Sam for several years. Do you remember the first time that you saw him play? And I say that knowing that you probably heard about him before you saw him.
Yeah, I didn't get to see him his ninth grade year, but I did. First time I saw him was in a district playoff game, oddly enough, against the school that everybody associates the Heward name with, and that's Puyallup. That was Jake. That was that really good Puyallup team that went to the state semifinals, losing to Union. Jacob Holcomb was the quarterback, and Puyallup really kind of laid him out. But to watch Sam and that offense really perform at a high level in the first half, that was the first time I'd seen him and really kind of saw the air raid performed at that kind of level. It was really, really impressive. And to see him a lot last year and the way it slowed down for him, and he just looks so calm and composed. He can deliver the ball with pace when he wants to. He can deliver it with air. He goes his pre-snap reads and his post-snap progressions are as good as I've ever seen in a high school quarterback. I mean, he's just spot on, processes things so quickly. I mean, he's the complete package, Andy. We know it. The numbers speak for themselves. Obviously, he has great heritage there with being the son of Damon Heward and probably learned a lot growing up with Damon, a two-time Super Bowl champion who played in the NFL and played for the Huskies. So he's pretty impressive in person, as fun to watch as a quarterback as I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, what he's learned from his dad, from his uncle. And I talked to Sam, we've already recorded that interview, and I asked him all about that. So he's a great interview too, which, you know, jumps out and has had a lot of practice over these last 4 years. But what a journey for him to come in as a freshman, who probably weighed, as he said, you know, like a buck 30, a buck 40 soaking wet. Beat out a couple guys, a couple older quarterbacks at Kennedy, and take control of that air raid as a true freshman, a 14-year-old in high school throwing for 3,500 yards and 34 touchdowns. So to do that, then to follow it up with the seasons that he's had, I don't know. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and I didn't ask him this because I don't know if it's a fair question to ask him, but I do wonder how long it's going to take for that record to be broken again, because you really – Any quarterback who does it's going to have to put together four really good years.
I didn't think that Brett's record would be in jeopardy so soon, but I think it's taken a special player like Sam Heward in a very high-powered offense like the air raid at Kennedy Catholic. And you mentioned this. I mean, look at the receivers he's had to throw to: Justin Baker, Junior Alexander, Reed Shumpert, Jabez Tanay. I mean, we're looking at one of the best receiving cores of all time in Washington. Guys that are all going to go play in the Pac-12. The quarterback's going to go play in the Pac-12.
Every one of those guys that you just named is going to be a Pac-12 receiver in a year.
It's unbelievable. So I think it took a special confluence of factors here for Brett's record to be in jeopardy this quickly. And I think Brett kind of shakes his head at it. We've had a conversation with Brett Rippon this week, and I think it's a little mind blowing to him, but he also sees the type of the high caliber of player that Sam is in that offense. You know, Brett Rippon ran the air raid in high school as well. It's a very pass friendly offense, and so yeah, I didn't think it would be broken or in jeopardy this soon, but here we are, 351 yards away from it being erased, and it's a pretty incredible feat.
Well, it is, and you alluded to that conversation you had with Rippon earlier this week, and took a little bit of audio from that conversation and threw it Sam's way. They haven't met before, but obviously a name that a name in the record books that Sam's been chasing now for a few years. Before we jump to that interview, you know, a point I wanted to make was that, you know, this has been a storyline that that Sam has been chasing and has followed him for now, you know, a couple of years of, you know, is he going to do this? Is he going to do this? And with the pandemic and the fall high school football season being postponed, it's something that, you know, there was a long time where, you know, it went from, oh, this is a sure thing. He's got a full year left and he's on pace to do it in only a couple games, to, oh no, is this pandemic going to wipe away the chance for, you know, a little bit of history to be made? And you know, among all the other things it's wiped out. So, but one of the things that I've really been struck by is how much as this is Sam's record, it's everybody at Kennedy's record too. This is Sheldon Cross's record in this air raid offense and his ability to get Sam onto campus when it was looked like he was headed to Eastside Catholic. This is Junior Alexander's record, a guy who's been a huge part in this and really come into his own these last couple of years and made it known that he's fairly pretty much unguardable at the high school level. This is Reed Shumpert's record, who's come in this year, and had a strong season, and he's got his future wrapped up as a walk-on at Washington State. It's Justin Baker's record. It's Jabez Tanae's record, who's going to be one of Sam's receivers at Kennedy. And that's not lost on Sam as much as this is the Heward record. So, Todd, without further ado, I say we jump to this interview. We jump to the guy who is in position to become the state's all-time passer. What do you think?
Let's do it. It's going to be a fun next few days, and I'm looking forward to Saturday. I know you are too.
SB Live WAH on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Follow along as we chart the journey of Sam these last 3-4 years, and we bring you the coverage of this weekend. So, Todd, without further ado, let's do it. Let's jump to Sam Heward. All right, he's Kennedy Catholic's quarterback. He's a soon-to-be Washington Husky, just like his dad, just like his uncle. And come Saturday, he could be the state's all-time high school passing leader in Washington. He's Sam Heward. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Of course, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so you're winding up to play Kentwood this weekend. You're fewer than, I think, 350 yards away from the all-time state record, the passing record, that is. That was set by Brett Rippon at Shadle Park, who's now with the Denver Broncos. Set it in 2014. Max Brown had said it previously. For you personally, does this week of preparation feel any different with that milestone potentially looming ahead?
I mean, I've definitely, you know, heard the number a lot this week, and I had a lot of people, you know, reaching out to me, asking me how many yards I need. I just, you know, try to put away for the most part and just really treat it like every other game and just know that, you know, I can't control how many yards or the outcome of what's going to happen on Saturday, but I can, you know, control how well I practice this week, how well I prepare. And that's really all I'm focused on. And I just, you know, my teammates and my coaches and Coach Cross do such a great job of this, keeping us all locked in and just focus on, like I said, what we can control. And I know that if I can do that and just prepare and give it my all and just play the best of my abilities, I know that the rest will take care of itself.
Junior had said that this week that, you know, he's brought it up and people have brought it up on the sidelines in games before, and you kind of shut it down during the flow of a game. You're such a team guy. I can imagine that, you know, this being a storyline that's followed you and that you're inching toward it, you know, I could imagine feeling like it might be a distraction from the team concept. Have you had to learn to, you know, embrace it and kind of manage the buzz?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, just kind of being able to manage it, not letting it, you know, affect me or get to me. You know, of course, that's just, you know, part of anything, especially, you know, getting close to breaking a record. You know, you're going to hear a lot about it. But, you know, like I said, I'm not playing this game. I'm not going out there on the field to set records and throw for a certain amount of yards. I'm just going out there to play the game that I love, to have fun with my teammates and just do what we do and to go win games. And, you know, that's, you know, I know my teammates will bring it up. They'll be like, hey, how many yards are you at? I'm like, hey, it doesn't matter. Let's just go keep doing what we're doing. Let's focus on this next drive. Let's go score. And, you know, the minute you really start, you know, like I said earlier, the minute you start worrying about, you know, how many yards you're throwing, what your stats are, how many yards you're away from this or that, you know, then you could just get out of playing your game and you lose the fun of just playing the game that I've always loved playing. And so for me, just being able to put that away for the most part, just being able to, you know, tone in, lock in, and just being able to be the best I can be every single series and just lock back in every series, no matter what the score is, no matter how well we're doing, just be able to, you know, look forward to the next drive and just to lock in, dial in, and just keep doing what we're doing.
So this, you wouldn't be in this position had you not come in and found immediate success as a freshman. And if we rewind a bit, folks who know you probably know this, but I'm not sure how many outside of maybe your circles do, but you were initially in eighth grade on that, some of those Eastside Catholic youth teams growing up, and then that eighth grade team. And those are some pretty loaded teams that you played on in middle school. As an eighth grader, I mean, were you ever looking around going, holy smokes, this group is legit. I wonder if we could beat some high school teams.
No, I mean, that team was definitely good. I mean, And whenever you get JT on the same team as you in eighth grade, I mean, you know, your team's pretty good. And I think, I mean, that team, I don't know if our defense gave up many points that year. I mean, I think we're up 40-0 in our league championship in eighth grade. And a lot of my buddies who I'd grown up, you know, here in Bellevue with playing flag football and playing tackle football with on that team. And, you know, it was definitely a loaded team, a lot of talent. And we've seen so many of those guys on that eighth grade team really being successful here at on the high school level.
Yeah, no question. And I love this story that the story of how you ended up at Kennedy. You know, Kennedy wasn't always the football powerhouse that maybe, you know, Eastside has been. Do you mind telling the backstory of what tipped the scales toward Kennedy's favor?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I really didn't even have an idea of what Kennedy was, where it was, you know, or really anything about their football program. I think I've heard about it a couple of times, but I remember, I think when I was in seventh grade, at an AAU basketball game or something down there in Berrien, and we were driving by the school, and my dad's like, oh, one of our good family friends, Sheldon Cross, just took over. I think that's going to be a big time program in a couple of years. I'm like, I could care less. You know, I'm playing for Eastside Catholic. That's probably where I'm going to go. But, you know, it's just funny how things work out. And we ended up going down when I was in eighth grade to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl for the, you know, UW versus Alabama. And my uncle was coaching at Georgia State at the time. And he is really close with Sheldon Cross. And so we've known them. Like I said, we were family friends. And he's like, hey, just go try it out, go tour it. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So when I went and visited, I met with Coach Cross. He had a little Husky replica helmet, and he brought out, he's like, hey, if you come here, I'm gonna help you get here. Cause you know, he knew that's been my dream, and that's, you know, what I wanted to do and what I wanted to, you know, strive to do. And so when he said that to me, and I'm in eighth grade, I was kind of like, whoa, like, it's pretty cool. And he, you know, he had some of the jerseys laid out, number 7, the Lancer Adidas jerseys all laid out, and, you know, maybe doing a little bit of recruiting there. But I just sat in his office, we were watching some of the offense, and, you know, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the air raid system, being a quarterback, being able to, you know, play in that system is just, I mean, it's every quarterback's dream pretty much, especially in high school. And, you know, I think I remember driving home that day, and, you know, I really felt that it was where God wanted me to be, and, you know, where I kind of wanted to go to high school the next 4 years. And I couldn't be more blessed to have gone to this school and to have chosen it, not knowing really anyone besides Junior, Jabez, a couple others, and really going there for trusting Coach Cross to go build something. You know, I know Eastside Catholic is probably the best program in the state right now, and they've been there for a couple of years, but we really just took the challenge of, okay, we're going to go start a program. We're going to go build it on the 4A level. We're going to do everything we can to bring this program to the top. And we fell a little bit short last year, but I definitely think we've done a lot for the program and a lot for the school. And, you know, we just really strive to do it the right way.
You know, growing up in a family of quarterbacks, this family of Husky quarterbacks, your dad, Damon, you mentioned wanting to be a Husky from a really young age. Was your family and all that UW influence, did they kind of allow you the freedom to, you know, hey, maybe try and look somewhere else in the recruitment process? Because it seemed like your mind was set pretty early on.
Yeah, I mean, I've grown up, you know, wearing the purple and gold for as long as I can remember. You know, at Husky basketball, Husky football, just loving the Huskies, cheering them on, you know, growing up. But I mean, they were definitely open. I mean, I went and visited Tennessee with my mom. We went down there during the season after one of my games. And that was a great experience. I went to a camp at South Carolina. I went to Wazoo. I went to USC, a couple other schools for camps and stuff. And they wanted me to find the best fit for me. And you know, at the end of the day, it's been my dream to be a Husky, and that just kind of outweighed everything else. And I know that I got everything I need right here, the teammates, the coaches, you know, the support from the community behind us. And, you know, I couldn't be more happy with my decision and to have gotten that opportunity to commit and sign and play for the Huskies.
Your dad played in the NFL for a number of years. I think, you know, he played until like 2008, 2009. How much do you remember from your dad's NFL career?
I mean, I remember going to a couple games at Arrowhead when he was with the Chiefs. I was little, but I remember, you know, just seeing how cool it was being able to play catch with him on the backyard. I think we're in the 07 Hard Knocks. They came and videoed us, and I was,
oh, really?
We're little, throwing the football with my dad in the backyard. And just some of those memories, just remembering it, you know, being able to, you know, see my dad playing in the NFL and just having, you know, my family, you know, play at that level. It's been a huge influence on me, and it's definitely helped me a lot from being able to learn from, you know, my dad, my uncle, and just pretty much my entire family is so involved with the game of football. And just, it's such a big advantage, I feel like, to have those guys, to be able to reach out to them and just, and, you know, talk to them and be able to have my dad, you know, every day just helping me and help me grow as a quarterback and as a person as well.
Your dad, Damon, had a great quote that he gave to The Athletic, a really nice story on you that Christian Capel wrote. And he said, he doesn't throw off his back foot like Uncle Brock, and he doesn't throw over, he doesn't overstride like me. So I think mechanically he's a lot better in the pocket than we ever were. And so I guess that makes me think and wonder how much did you study and learn from your dad and your uncle growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely got a long ways to, you know, get to where those guys went to, you know, but I've definitely put a lot of work in just being able to learn from them. Like I said, learn from what they did right and also be able to learn from what, you know, they wish they did better and be able to have that. And I think just not having them, but having so many other people just be able to help me with, you know, my mechanics, and also being at Kennedy with Coach Cross. You know, he played quarterback in college and he's been around the game, you know, coaching at the collegiate level, and just being able to have him work with me every day, you know, in the film room, learning defenses, reading defenses, you know, my mechanics, you know, everything that comes with being a quarterback, and also, you know, off the field as well. But I mean, it's so, like I've said, it's so much of a great impact to have so many amazing people around me that have played this game at such a high level and coach at such a high level. It's definitely a big advantage. And, you know, I couldn't, you know, be more, like I said, be more blessed to have had these people around me these my entire life and with Coach Cross these past 4 years.
One of your separators has always been, you know, your polish, your understanding of the game, like you said, and poise under pressure. As you prepare to make the jump to the next level, the physical side, how do you plan on, you know, building size and strength? Do you have an idea of ways you might kind of retool or shape, continue to shape your body at UW?
Yeah, I mean, I think as we've seen, you know, with many guys, when they get to college, you know, they'll be able to put weight on and get to where they need to be to able to perform at a high level. But I mean, I think, you know, one of the best things I credit to myself and just being able to go out and execute on game days is just, you know, my work ethic and just being able to really prepare and put in the work. And, you know, I really credit that. You know, there's so many great people around me. When I was in seventh grade, I started, you know, going to FSP to start training there. And I was a little nervous at first because, you know, they had guys like, you know, Savon, you know, Foster Sherrill, Connor Weddington, guys who were, you know, juniors and seniors in high school, and you know, Jacob Eason, and just, you know, so many big names, you know, Buda Baker's come out of there, and so many guys. And just like, I was like, okay, like I'm, you know, scrawny, like 130 pounds here in seventh grade, but, you know, getting put in that environment, doing competition Thursday with those guys, competing in the weight room, on the field with those guys, like it really taught me how to work hard and just being so consistent training there, you know, not just Tracy, but, you know, I train with another guy in there, Deion Jones. He's helped me so much these past 2 years. I started training with him a couple of years, and just, you know, being able to do all the little things, put in the work, the strength side of it, and just, you know, being able to just really, like I said, the importance of learning how to work hard and putting the work and preparing. I couldn't be more blessed to have gotten into the FSP family, and I can definitely take that with me at the next level to just be able to continue to put in the work to keep getting better and try to get ready to go play at that level.
Did I read it right that your mom at one point introduced you to boxing?
She did. That's also been another game changer. I mean, I think for me, one of the biggest thing I'm doing is I'm always, you know, because it's such a competitive, you know, the higher you get, there's so many great guys around you, especially in college. You know, the quarterback room at a big time school is so great. And so for me, just trying to find all these, you know, little ways that I can try to get an advantage, try to better myself. And I mean, getting introduced, you know, my mom got me into boxing. I started doing it over by UW with Russell. He's the head boxing coach for the UW club boxing team. And, you know, he's so great. And he's helped me, you know, so much in there. You know, of course, I'm not going to be, you know, sparring much or fighting anyone soon, but just the training aspect of it, you know, all the weight movement, you know, hips and just that technique and all of it is so beneficial. And it translates so much to me being a quarterback. And I mean, I've definitely seen, you know, all the positive effects that it's had on my football game from being in there, training there, learning a new way of training. It's definitely helped me a lot.
Are you still doing that?
I am. Yeah.
How often?
During the season, I don't do it too much, but during the off season, I'll get in there with Savelle. I've brought a Mecca in there. You know, I definitely bring a lot of my teammates in there, and it's a great workout, but it's a lot of fun as well.
Right on. Nothing like cross training. So the jump from high school to college is, you know, pretty significant. And you started as you said, you know, smaller, leaner freshman at Kennedy Catholic and have grown and worked over these last, you know, 3-4 years. You beat out older quarterbacks in the process as a freshman, adapted to that stage, famously threw for, you know, almost 3,500 yards and 34 touchdowns as a freshman. What did you learn from playing your freshman season and making that transition? And I know it's not, you know, apples to apples, but I've got to imagine you can pull from that as you kind of prepare to jump to college.
Yeah. You know, I think at the end of the day, you know, the minute you step on the field, football is football, you know, no matter what level it is, it's playing the game of football. It's going to be in a lot of ways the same as, you know, I've always been playing it, flag football, tackle football, high school football. You know, of course it's going to be the level of competition is definitely going to get better, but I think one of the things that I've been able to do, especially at Kennedy, is we've really been able to just, you know, adapt to the level of competition we're playing at, you know, be able to, you know, rise to the occasion and be able to compete at that level. And I know that it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of preparation, a lot of hours put in, you know, but I'm definitely, you know, of course, willing to do that, you know, to be able to adjust and get ready to play at the collegiate level. But I mean, I think I remember, you know, my first game playing at UW against Seattle Prep, you know, like it was yesterday. I remember just coming off the field on that first drive and just like, man, this is fun. And then, you know, then I got hit in the mouth at 150 pounds a couple of times, you know, but you get up, you keep learning, you keep fighting, you just keep enjoying the game, which is the biggest thing that, you know, if I had to give someone else advice, is just enjoy it and just love it. Love the moments, the good, the bad, all of it, because football teaches you so many valuable life lessons. It brings so many amazing people into your life like I've had. And, you know, like you said, I mean, it is a big jump. I know there's a lot bigger of a jump from eighth grade to high school, from, you know, being a high school senior to going into college, especially because of the level of competition, like I said. But, you know, I know that if I just keep putting in the hard work, just, you know, appreciating the game, preparing as much as I can, that, you know, I'll be ready to go and be ready to go compete.
Is there a teammate who you're most excited to play with, either on the current team at UW or in your incoming class?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I said, you know, I think UW definitely has the best O-line in the Pac-12 and one of the best in the countries. And I mean that, you know, that the game of football starts up front and with those guys, and being able to know that, you know, I'm going in there practicing every day with a great O-line in front of me. And if I get that opportunity to go play as a freshman, that, you know, I'm going to have a great offensive line ahead of me. And just being able to know that, and also have so many great weapons, you know, Jalen and Rome played a little bit as freshmen last year. You know, I have a great relationship with both of those guys. I really feel that receiver room is loaded as well. And there's just so much talent on that roster. I mean, I couldn't, you know, be more fired up to go play with all those guys. And it's definitely, you know, like I said, everyone we need to go make history and to go win a national championship is on that roster right now. And, you know, I just got to go do my part and put in the work. And we all got to just, you know, keep saying that every day. And I know that that this team is really, really, really good. And I'm really excited to join it.
Your grandpa, Mike Heward, is one of the most successful football coaches and in one of the most recognizable programs in the state at Puyallup, of course. What's his influence on you been like?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's had such a huge influence on me. But also, my mom's dad, on my mom's side, he was a high school football coach as well. He played at UW. And I think it's just so great having, you know, both my grandpas coached high school football and they were so involved with the game of football. They both played in college, and just being able to go to both of them for advice, to learn from them, because, I mean, they've seen so much, you know, over their years of within the game of football, and just, you know, their constant support and their appreciation for the game, and, you know, how much they help me is just, it's meant so much to me. And just being able to, you know, look up in the stands, seeing them up there, you know, cheering us on, being able to talk to them before and after games, it's just meant so much to me.
So you guys, your sophomore year, played Puyallup in a district playoff. What color sweatshirt was your grandpa wearing that day?
He was in his gray Kennedy sweatshirt. Yeah.
Okay.
Got my grandparents their gray Kennedy hoodies, and they were all wearing them up there.
Man, that's got to be a sight. I know gray is a pretty neutral color, but just to have the Kennedy across the chest has to mean something.
No, he definitely has the Puyallup ties, but, you know, family's family, and he was definitely pulling for the Lancers that night.
So back in the fall, you know, we talked back then. You were one of the leaders of the Student Athletes of Washington group that advocated state leaders to allow for the high school football season to resume back in the fall. You rallied at the Capitol. You spoke at the steps of the state Capitol, and you guys had a few Zoom calls with, you know, policymakers and you know, reps from the Department of Health and such and the WIA. You guys ended up getting a spring season, not exactly what you were hoping to fight for, but, you know, you're able to play a senior season. And now that, you know, the restart has you know, gone into effect and you guys have been out there, how do you reflect on that movement and how you guys, you know, came together and kind of galvanized that movement?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely, you know, even though we didn't get what we wanted, which was a fall season, I mean, you know, I wouldn't have traded that experience for anything. I definitely learned so much, as well as our entire, you know, SA group did. Just putting in so much work to really, you know, fight for, you know, what we felt was right, which we did at the time. And, you know, of course, there were a lot of people that, you know, felt the opposite way. But, you know, I think that's the case with any situation like this one. But I think the hardest part for us was just having to watch so many other states play at the time. And we really felt, you know, as much research and as much work we put into it, we really felt there was a safe way to do it in the fall. But I think, you know, like I said, just speaking at the Capitol steps, you know, getting on Zoom with some of these people, talking on, you know, radio shows, on the news, it's just, you know, all those experiences are so important, especially me being able to go through those in high school as a high school senior and be able to use that, you know, for the rest of my life was definitely extremely beneficial. And, you know, I wouldn't trade those experiences, like I said, for anything. And, you know, our group, we put in a lot of hard work. We tried to make it happen. You know, of course, we didn't get the season in the fall, but, you know, we couldn't be more happy to be playing now in the spring, and we're just making the most of it.
You are among the sharpest interviews that I've come across. Was it always like that? I mean, have you always been pretty comfortable in front of a camera, or even, you know, growing up giving presentations in front of class?
I mean, I don't know too much. I think I've gotten used to it. I mean, I still, you know, I think you get better every time, and you just get more comfortable with it and speaking and stuff. But, you know, I mean, I remember, I think my first one after the game with Brandon Huffman, I got an interview after that game at UW against Seattle Prep. And, you know, I mean, there's definitely stuff you say looking back that's, you know, that's pretty funny that I said that, or, you know, how could I say that, or something like that. But I mean, you learn and you get more comfortable, like I said, and you just get better at it every time. But I mean, it's always a blessing to be able to, you know, continue to get exposure and to be able to use my voice and my platform, you know, especially like with SAW, and be able to use my platform, be able to speak out, you know, for a lot of other people, and just, you know, be able to represent my school and my teammates the right way.
Is Saturday going to be all business, or if you do break the record, have you thought about, you know, how you might take it all in?
I mean, I think, you know, I've definitely been visualizing it and, you know, thinking about and preparing it. But I think, you know, for me, it's just focusing on right now. You know, we had another great practice today, and just focus on that this week, watching film, game planning, getting ready for a great opponent this Saturday. You know, I think it definitely is, you know, a little emotional, you know, knowing, you know, all the circumstances, you know, this week and everything going into it. Just how much I appreciate my teammates and how much they mean to me and how much Coach Cross means to me. I mean, it's such, you know, the record is such a, you know, it's such a reflection on not just an individual and me, but my teammates, Coach Cross, believing in me since day one. Everyone who's played on that O-line, on that defense, my receivers, my running backs, just everyone. And, you know, I know it means a lot to this entire team. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I just got to go out there on Saturday. And just like I said, control what I can control. Just, you know, focus on each drive individually. Have fun playing the game I love. Just enjoy with my teammates. And just, you know, play the best I can and let the rest take care of itself.
Have you had any moments this season so far where you kind of just look around and smell the roses and think, okay, you know, this is going to come to an end, and it's been pretty special?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's definitely not the senior year that – we all expected. Not being able to have the playoffs or go compete for a state championship is definitely tough, because, I mean, I can still remember walking off the field at Renton Stadium, losing in the quarterfinals last year, and just knowing that, you know, I've never gotten an opportunity to go play for a state championship, you know, I'm going to have to live with. But at the same time, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some moments, you know, just being able to look at my teammates, how far we've come, how much we've overcome these past 4 years. And, you know, I mean, nothing, you know, to be sad about, but just to really appreciate, and just, you know, how much I love these guys, how much they mean to me, and, you know, how much work we've put in along the way. And, you know, we still got a job to go finish on Saturday.
Have you ever talked to Brett Rypien before?
No, I haven't, but I'm a big fan of his game. I remember watching him on, I think it was the Monday night game. They played the Jets. But I'm definitely a big fan of him. Kellen Moore as well. I mean, just to be able to be put in the same sentence as those guys, statistic wise, it's definitely a great honor.
Would it mean something to know that he's rooting you on?
I mean, you know, I mean, that would be great, but at the same time, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, I know that he's extremely busy and focused on himself and getting ready for this upcoming season as well.
So, Todd Millis, reporter with SB Live, spoke to Brett today. We have a clip. I've sent it to you. If you don't mind playing it, it's Brett Rypien's reaction to you potentially being within reach of his record.
I'll check it out real quick.
Yeah, I'll probably try to stay updated, you know, maybe refresh the Twitter feed every once in a while and see. But, you know, I mean, I've seen some of the stats he's been putting up this year. I don't think that 341 is like, I mean, unless they're playing an amazing defense, you know, that should definitely be doable for him. So I'm pulling for him.
That's pretty cool right there. You said he might have to get back on Twitter. I'm gonna be honest. I try to stay off that stuff as much so I can relate to him on there. But that's pretty cool right there. I mean, that definitely means a lot, you know, to have someone at that level who's done such amazing things in high school and college, now in the NFL. I mean, that's pretty cool right there. I appreciate you guys reaching out and doing that.
Absolutely, man. And hey, you know, I know the high school season won't last forever. It's a shortened season. So, you know, I wish you the best this weekend and enjoy it. Enjoy the rest of your senior season.
For sure. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Absolutely. 1 p.m. Saturday, Highline Stadium, Kentwood, Kennedy Catholic. Sam Heward, thanks for joining us, man.
Of course. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert, Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today.